occupied Palestine. Going to be giving an update from the ground of occupied Palestine. We're visiting in Gaza this week, attempting to give an analysis and an update of the so-called Gaza disengagement plan, which has been touted in the corporate media in the United States as simply the end of the occupation of the Gaza Strip. The reality could be no further from the truth. As soon as one gets to Gaza, the immediacy of the occupation, the reality of the occupation, slams you in the face. Gaza is still unequivocally so occupied. And using the prison metaphor, the prison guards have simply been redeployed from inside the prison to outside the prison perimeter. So in fact, when one gets inside Gaza, there is an eerie calm that one experiences. And myself, having been to Gaza so many times in the last 15 years, I can tell you that Gaza has never been so calm or quiet in the last 15 years. But it's an eerie sense of calm, there's no doubt about that. But using the prison analogy, rather than there being settlers here within the Gaza Strip, and military outposts and checkpoints within the Gaza Strip, what we have now is an increased perimeter occupation and protection. What we have now is a more reinforced form of occupation, where Gaza has now become a very large prison. So that entry and exit into the Gaza Strip is made even more difficult and problematic by the more extreme and intense presence of the Israeli occupation forces at the perimeters and at the entrance and exit points, most notably the Rafah terminal with Egypt. And in the corporate media, it's been reported that Israel no longer has a place there. But in fact, the reality could be no further from the truth. The Israeli presence is still very much felt there. Additionally, at the Erez crossing, which is where most other internationals and Palestinians come and go in to the Gaza Strip, it's a fortress beyond belief, and I'll be talking about that in a little bit later. When one thinks about ending occupation in Palestine or ending occupation anywhere, we think about sovereignty, we think about control, we think about dignity, we think about self-determination, we think about freedom, we think about justice. And if those are the issues that go into what determines freedom and self-determination and the end of occupation, Gaza is still very much occupied. Everything is controlled in Gaza 100% with respect to what goes in and what leaves, vehicles, medicine, people. There's nothing that goes in or leaves Gaza without the complete control and monitoring of the Israeli occupation forces. We as Palestinians have no ability to control our airspace, our natural resources, our coastal areas, nothing. And because Israeli settlers no longer illegally reside within the Gaza Strip, the Israelis are keen on using more primitive forms of military attack on the civilian populations of Gaza. So, for example, the Israelis have been using mortar shells, which have never been used in Gaza since the occupation of 1967. Mortar shells, as most people know, are very inexact tools, very inexact weapons, so that they can be fired and hit rather indiscriminately compared to other forms of military brutality. They've also taken to using sonic booms, so an F-16 will fly overhead and break the sound barrier and scare beyond belief the civilian population of the Gaza Strip. Those sonic booms apparently have stopped because of severe and significant international pressure that has been put on the Israeli occupation forces. So the context of Gaza right now is such that it's very much intense, it's very much existent, it very much continues. And as we think about the Gaza Strip, always we have to put it into the larger context, because I know what the corporate media has typically done is try to isolate Gaza or isolate Palestine from the larger anti-imperial, anti-colonial struggles and national liberation struggles that occur all over the world. And of course, we in Palestine understand that the context of Gaza and the context of Palestine and the context of Palestinian struggle for freedom and self-determination is intimately connected with all anti-imperial, anti-colonial, national liberation struggles. It has been an incredible media feat to continue to isolate Palestine from the rest of self-determination and national liberation struggles all over the world. But we as Palestinians clearly understand the connections between Gaza, Palestine, Iraq, the Philippines, Haiti, Latin America, Katrina, the FTA, and what is happening all over the world. We cannot isolate these things at all. And we understand that Gaza and Palestine are at the center, if you will, of the larger anti-colonial, anti-imperial struggle that is being waged against this juggernaut of empire. And what's even more disturbing, I guess, and you see this in terms of the reality of Gaza right now, and traditionally people on the left, or even, you know, most people have always tried to enforce this kind of isolation, like as if Palestine is somewhat a separate issue. But when you're here and when you see the reality of resistance and you see the reality of struggle, nothing could be further than the truth. Gaza very much is at the forefront and at the vanguard, if you will, of these larger anti-colonial, anti-imperial struggles. So in fact, we see no difference between Palestinians who are struggling for self-determination and freedom, no different than how the Algerians decolonized Algeria, or how the Vietnamese decolonized Vietnam. It's no different from any other large decolonizing process or processes that have occurred in Latin America, in the Philippines, and certainly what's going on in Haiti right now.